Good evening, Rabbi Yisai. We're up to Siman Lamed Beis. We started Sif Mem. We'll continue Mitzvah Hashem from there. We'll be discussing today Mitzvah Hashem, a very interesting topic. We'll be discussing, first of all, the chritzim, the grooves in the tefillin, in the batim. In the tefillin, we can see that they are divided into the four parshas. Tefillin Shel Yad are divided into four parshas. Actually, quite a... They're divided into four batim. And we'll be discussing that groove, of these grooves that are quite visible over here, the white lines, the four grooves. Thank you so much. They will be discussed today, Mitzvah Hashem. And we'll also be discussing the shin on either side. Will be discussed as well, Mitzvah Hashem. Right. Okay, so let us see first the Shulchan Aruch about this charitz, about this groove. Charitz shebein bayis lebayis, the groove which is between each bayis, tzorich sheyagia ad hatefek, must reach the stitching area, must go all the way down. It must go all the way down till the area that the stitches are. Tzorich sheyagia ad hatefek, v'im lo yagia ksher, if it doesn't reach, it's kosher. V'hu sheyenikra charitz, okay, thank you so much. This is a halacha which shows us a little bit that to what extent is so many halachas that we're not aware of if we don't. We could be so easily unaware of it. Thank you so much. Really beautiful. Okay. Now these grooves, in between, they represent that within each of those grooves, it's a bais. They have got their own parsha, and it's interesting because they're all literally. This is obviously made out of leather, and in the inside, internally, there's like basically like a bais. Can I ask for the picture? Because that's going to make it so clear. Within the inside, if you were to crack it open, you'd see each of those grooves represent one bais, and in that bais, there's a parsha inside. We know the tefillin shel Rosh have got four separate parshas, and they are within that these grooves. Now, these grooves, you can't just cover them up, because the groove, and say that internally, you have got the batim, and that's it. So, no, it mustn't be like that. You have to ensure that the four batim are recognizable and visible from the outside. Now, I'm going to pass around a beautiful picture. We've got in the schus of Reb Yossel. You'll see of it, which is a beautiful shows us how the tefillin are made. You'll see the leather parts. You'll see how the four batim represent it. On the one hand, we see that it has to be made out of one piece of leather. We spoke about that previously. And you see how it is gradually formed into four batim, and you will see the stages, stage 1, 2, 3, 4, and eventually how you've got four batim, and that, the four batim within that bais, and where you will insert the four parshas. May I ask to pass around, I'm going to interrupt the shift for 1 minute, because I think it's really important that we understand that. If I can just ask to pass it around, and then you'll have a clear understanding of what I'm talking about. Have you got still the stages leading up to it, or it's maybe interesting to see as well?
The previous picture.
The same picture, but just as
just make it a bit smaller, and then we'll see. I expanded it because it's smaller.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Thank you so much. Now, it's very interesting. Because what seemed to have been an issue in the times of the Chofetz Chaim, and it is still, I saw today, mecha done by some expert soifrim and batimachers, they still point out to this. This was a letter which was written a couple of years ago. This problem still exists nowadays. This is a chashash. Us, as outsiders, as just buyers of tefillin, when we acquire and we purchase tefillin, we can't really see it, but it's something which we need to be aware of. That what some forged, and it's a problem, what some batimacha do is that the tefillin are not so nicely separated. And what they will do is, and we're going to see the Mishnah Berurah, Mamash speaks about this. What they will have is a bais which is actually not visible from the outside, that is for batim. But then before they sell it, they say, oh, I'm not going to be able to sell that, because the halacha is that chritzim, the grooves, need to be clearly visible from the outside. So what do? They take something sharp and they make a groove externally, which does not represent the internal four batim. Nothing to do with it. You're just going on the leather from the outside and you're making four lines from the outside. That is absolutely possible. Because that's not the idea. You don't need to have just nice lines from the outside. That's not the point. Yiddishkeit is about the inside, and not about the outside. And if somebody just fakes and he makes a groove from the outside, it's possible. Ksim Shmuel points this out. And it's something which we need to be aware of, because even nowadays, it's so mechor, that batimachas, they say, they know there are still those tefillin, they are out there, those kind of tefillin. They're just making, they're faking a groove from the outside, and it doesn't represent four separate entities, four different batim. And we're going to see the Mishnah Berurah points this out already in the Chofetz Chaim's times, but it seems to be an ongoing issue until nowadays. The answer again is, what do we do about this? The answer is, we're not good enough experts to start taking apart a tefillin. So I suppose the answer is just to make sure that when we purchase the tefillin, just really, even if it's more expensive, you go to the expert, and really people are reliable and people that we know we can trust. And if you're not sure, then we ask around and we ask Rabbonim, who can really, really rely that the tefillin are really more mood? Because once we've bought it, it's hard for us to identify that. Let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says, because it really points out this very, very point. Mishnah Berurah and Seif Cotton, Kuf Pei Zayin. Can I just return to you the tefillin? I'm a bit rude, where I'm just giving it back to you, but they really are nice, and I don't want to. Can I just give it back to you like this? Actually, I might need them shortly again, but just for the moment, can I just. Okay. So says the Mishnah Berurah and Seif Cotton, Kuf Pei, in Kuf Pei Ches. Actually, Kuf Pei Zayin is a good place to start. The Mishnah Berurah says, Vushiye, Avoli Meino Nikam Bechotz. If the srit, the charitzim, the grooves are not recognizable from the outside, afshem bifnim, even though internally from the inside yeshloi dalet batim, there is four batim, v'chol pasha pasha munachas bevais bifnei atzmoi, and every pasha is individually put in a bais, lo imhan, it's not good enough. So it's not good enough just to have a parsha. They need to be nikam bechutz. The separation needs to be visible from the outside. It needs to be visible from the outside. Certainly, if you just make a scratch from the outside, that's not good enough. That's not the idea. Because certainly, tzorich hevdel, you need a separation, a small separation between the batim. Shuacharitzim nikori mamesh, the indentation, the groove need to be clearly recognizable. V'chein achay odom. Main b'maisa asoyfim, the chadam discusses what some soyfim tend to do. Shemedapkim abatim, they stick the batim together. V'tochin is kol abayis b'tiach, they covered it up. Or b'glanz, they covered up with some sort of layer, some sort of shine, as we discussed yesterday as well. Some similar type of dye. Rak she'oisim roishim b'aglanz, and they just make from the externally they make a scratch. And now he says, Mamash, what we are talking about. The Kolshken, and even more so, are soifrim shetoilim oira dalet batim. The soifrim, they don't just make a scratch, but they add a bit of leather on the four batim. And after having added that layer of leather, they then make a groove and indentation on that leather, besakin with a knife. Shetir nirika abba batim, that it would appear that it's four batim. The apostle, this is certainly apostle. That it is a naset filet shel yad. What the Mishnah Berurah says, in other words, that if you just, again, just to recap, if you just make a groove from the outside, that's not good enough. Rather, the batim need to be, the separation of the batim, needs to, which is an internal separation, needs to be visible from the outside. You can't just cheat and make a separation from the outside. That's not the idea. It needs to be literally four separate batim, which are visible from the outside. Right, that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Seif Mem Aleph. Moving on. Eirech v'roicha v'batim v'govon ein lo shir. Says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Shulchan Aruch, the height, the eirech v'roicha, the width and the length of the batim, v'govon and its height, ein lo shir, there's no shir to it. In other words, it doesn't have to be a tefach, a half a tefach. It doesn't, no shir to it. Yes, we have discussed previously, they need to be
square.
That's right. But however big you, that square you make, is according to the words of Shulchan Aruch, you pick your choice, whatever you like. But there is no real halacha about that, what the size of the shir of the tefillin should be. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is not completely true. This is only half the truth. Kuf pei tes, says the Mishnah Berurah, oirich v'roichav, mikom nokom nevertheless, nochon lochosh divra goinim, it is proper to be choshesh on the words of the goinim, שסויברים הוא אור לכתחילה לא יעשה איזם קטנים אצבעים על אצבעים. לכתחילה, there should be no less than two fingers on two fingers. How much is that, Rabbi Yisai? In centimeters?
There should be no, sorry.
No, there should be no smaller than 2 centimeters on 2 centimeters. Should be at least.
Very small.
I mean, sorry, they say two etzba, two fingers on two fingers. How much is that, though? It's not far from 2 centimeters. Lies the post can say, how much would you say? Rabbi Ossel, two etzba. It's probably not much from 2 centimeters, no?
Two on top of two?
No, two into either direction.
3 centimeters.
Probably, yeah. Something like that. And you know, not only that, but he says, that is, and that is even including the titura. As we discussed, the titura is this. So, I've seen small tefillin, I've seen very small tefillin, but there's no tefillin is that small that it would even come into a question of that size. I mean, it's including the titur, you need to have etzbaim al etzbaim, including this. So, I mean, it's going to be very hard to find that miniature. Very good. It's absolutely 100% beautiful what you're pointing out. It's very much what the Mishnah Berurah, that's absolutely correct. The poskim and the Mishnah Berurah, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. ואין באולס תומת שקוסב דימין מחסיק מהטיטור רק באצבע לאצבע אפילו בדייבת פוסלב. If it's smaller than that, it would be פוסלב בדייבת. This is not so relevant because you're not going to find fit in that size. וכי פוסק בספר מאמה באומותך ואין בספר לראה בשלים את הרמאס חוס. So some, it seems that there was quite a discussion amongst the poskim about the these miniatures tefillin must be the what they were. Through around, says some amatir, mikol makim, nevertheless, siyem to kol ba'al nefesh, yizor alas, et tu rochop beis et spa'oim. So at the very least, you should have this to it. But again, nowadays, those tefillin are fine. Levatka elu, and this is very much your point, he said, never mind all that. Motsum oid beilu at tefillin aktanim. We've got this miniature, this tiny tefillin. It is very common. Shapashi sin gruis ad meoid. It is very likely that the parshas are very, very schwach. They're very poor quality. Mitzad dchak hamokim, because of the, you've got so little space in the tefillin, so it's very hard to have nice parshas if they're so small. Kasher be'einai ro'isi ha'bemem, as I've seen many of those miniature tefillin, the parshas become very poor quality. Al kein, therefore, Hashem enaf she'ishma mehem, the person who guards his soul should be distancing himself from such tiny tefillin. Both sides, I want to just put this a little bit in context. On the one hand, we're learning now that really tiny tefillin are a problem. I've seen one literally really, really tiny tefillin. I've seen them. They're really, really tiny. So it's very schwach. Both, you know, you're touching on minimum size, which is a problem. But besides that, and most importantly, so the parsha has become a very schwach quality. But, we learned the other extreme. Does anybody, Rabbi say, remember, we spoke about not having big tefillin. What was the problem of big tefillin?
Okay.
Very good. So that's very interesting. That's absolutely correct. So we learned previously about the size of the filling. If they're too big, you're going to have a problem of having exactly the right place. We know that it's very, very important to have exactly the right place of the mokum anochas tefillin, whether it's the tefillin shel Rosh, whether it's tefillin shel Yad, you need to be exactly right. But if they are too big, Mishnah Berurah pointed out numerous places, Mishnah Berurah pointed out if they are very big, you're likely to not have exactly the right place. Therefore, one has to have the right balance, but not too big and not too small.
Better.
Interesting Shaila. Rabbi, what do you think? Just last interesting. If let's say you ended up the holidays, you ended up in holidays, you know, it can happen. Pardon?
Bournemouth. I was in the Lubavitch Hotel in Bournemouth. And the Lubavitch is where
the big thing. They do. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Filling,
yeah, right. If a person finds himself
at 8 o'clock as well,
so if you find yourself in a more obscure place where there is there a place where there's no Chabad? I don't know if there might be a place or two where there's no Chabad. There might be. And you have a choice between having a very small tefillin. And we just discussed now the problem of having very small tefillin is the parshas being very shmach. Alternatively, having very big tefillin, very big tefillin, which the problem of the Mokum Anochas tefillin is going to be a bit of an issue. It's very interesting Shaila. What should you choose? I think it's a very interesting Shaila, Rabbi Yisai. What? Big. Why rather big?
Mm-hmm. You can fit
mm-hmm.
it around on your arm.
Right. That's a nice svara. Rabbi says, everybody agree to that? What do you think?
I think
Rabbi Feingold svara, very nice svara. What do you think?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, probably to have the bigger one. Yeah. Bigger one, yeah. Maybe. The other side of the argument would maybe be that there's a chazoka. You could maybe assume that every tefillin maybe has a cheskas kashos, and therefore you can assume that it's fine. But then again, if it's very small, maybe the chazoka is not just a strong chazoka. It's something, it's a shaila. I hear. It's
very
nice. Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think nowadays, as we mentioned earlier, I think that nowadays, with regards to the tefillin, the average tefillin that we have got is achshur ador. I think that the quality of the tefillin that we have got nowadays is substantially better than the common tefillin, the 50 year or even 50 years ago, certainly 100 years ago. It's achshur ador. It's definitely achshur ador. So that's an interesting shaila. Right, okay, this is with regards to the size of the tefillin. I want to point out something that I failed to mention yesterday because I saw it. You asked about the square. So we mentioned that the square needs to be an absolutely perfect square. So we spoke about the square being the width and the length of the tefillin. Goiva of the tefillin, we said, is not really part of the cheshbon. It's not really. I did see, however, I'm not good. My eyes are not. I'm not very good at it. But I saw that there is actually a hiddur. I saw today or yesterday. I saw there's a hiddur of actually making it a. That wouldn't be called a square anymore. What would that be called?
A cube.
A cube. Thank you very much. But it's a hiddur. We have to realize what is a lechatchila, what is a ma'akev. So it sounds like some poskim can say there is such a hiddur of having it an absolute cube. But it's not different what Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah. They don't bring it. Okay, thank you very much. Really, really beautiful. Really nice. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. Okay, good. Master needed for the shin. Okay, continue to Shulchan Aruch, Seif Mem Beis. Shin shel tefillin, the shin of the tefillin. Halach l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. There's Halach l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which is the shin of the tefillin. Shiyase ba'oir habatim. Now, this is already the first halacha. He needs to be made out of the oir habatim. They need to be made out of the oir. They need to be made out of the leather of the batim shel roish. Kemin shin boiletes mekim tei ha'oir. So the halacha is that the shin of the tefillin, they must be created and formed and shaped and made out of the tefillin. It is therefore we sing from the word of the Shulchan Aruch. It's not going to be kosher if you have a beautiful tefillin and you add a cut out shin, and you add and you stick it onto the tefillin, it's going to be possible. It needs to be made out of the batim. It needs to be made out of the batim. That's the first and foremost halacha that we have about the shin. It needs to be made out of tefillin. Now this is going to be very hard for us as laymen to actually make it. Imagine that, you've got a leather, and you have to make a shin out of it. It's not, how would you do it? Where would you start?
Does it have to be, can it be cut out? Or does it have to be?
Beautiful shayla, this is mamash what the post can discuss. So, very good. We're going to speak about that. It's very challenging to do that. I mean, just think of it. Just look at it for a minute. It's unbelievable. I mean, just think about it. I mean, just a bit of awareness about, you know, just trying to do that. Would you manage? It's quite, Yeah, look at that. I mean, it's really, where would you start? Yeah? Pardon? Right, okay. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, so there must be two shins. Echad miyaminoi, one on the right side, and echad bismoiloi, one on the left. You need to have two shins, one on the right and one on the left. Shel yamina meniach, shishloi shiroshim, on the right side of the person wearing it, it needs to have three heads, a shin with three heads. Veshel smoil meniach, and on the left side of the one wearing it, shel abaroshim, the four heads. However, says the Rama, miu, im hepech, if you switched it around, einoi nifsal, it's not possible because of that. Yes, you need to have a shin. Yes, it needs to be made out of a bais. Yes, you need to have it on two sides. Yes, one needs to be three and one needs to be four. But if you switch it around, it doesn't puzzle. Now, one of the questions which everybody asks, and I don't know the answer, it's one of those questions that your four-year-old child asks, and you don't know the answer, is why, I mean, you understand the shin is part of shakai, whatever shakai, you know, the shin, the dalet, the yod, okay. But why do you have a shin with four? And that's like your four-year-old kid asks a question, and the answer is inevitably going to be, not quite sure. So, and the Mishneh Berurah doesn't address that, and it's, pardon?
Sunday night.
So that's exactly why, absolutely. And we hope that the Mitzvah Shem on Sunday will be able to ask the question, because hopefully that's part of the inside story of the Tefillin. It's probably also the outside shin with four heads. It's going to be something that... watch this space. Hopefully we can we'll be a bit wiser on Sunday night, the Mitzvah Shem. And if somebody really can't wait, maybe you can look in the index. Pardon? Maybe if you look in the index, maybe we're going to be a bit, if you can't wait. So that's, but I really don't, it's not addressed anywhere. I didn't see any post-skim actually speaking about it. I did see that the post-skim, I did see what the post-skim do say. They don't explain it, but I saw that they mentioned that the explanation is in the Sifrei Kabbalah. It's in the Kabbalah part of the Torah, which has more of explanation. The Alder Chapshat, I have absolutely no clue, and nothing is mentioned here, really, interestingly. I don't know why nothing is mentioned Alder Chapshat. Hopefully we'll be wise on Sunday, Mitzvah Hashem. Now, very much going back to your point, about how is it actually, can you actually scratch it out, or can you put... So this is very much, this is a very extensive topic. How to actually make this shin. The Mishneh Berurah, addresses this in Sif Kotten. And let's just start maybe from Sifkot and Kuf Tzadik. The Mishneh Berurah says, Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, V'im Niskalkel HaShin V'Einoi Nikar, if the shin is slightly damaged, then it's not recognizable. Tzorech L'Sakne Mechodosh, you have to redo it, do it again. Dum Yedim Niskalkel Ribua, no different than if the square was damaged, you need to do it again, as we learned earlier. It's even Akiv, it sounds like from the Mishneh Berurah. So the shin, if the shin is not there anymore, better ensure to run to your nearest Batimacha. Sifkot and Kuf Tzadik, Aleph Kemin Shin. Umashma b'achoyim, an interesting one. The achoyim is mashma the tmunas shinin shelonu shano oisim betfilin yad, betfilin shano oisim betfilin dai. That what the shin that we have got, the shins that we have got in our tefillin, that's good enough. The loy bein on it, it's not necessary. Daf k'ksav stam. You don't need what we call stam writing or ashuris. It's not necessary. Mamash elo dugma. It needs to be similar to stam. So it doesn't need to be. In other words, it doesn't have to be what would be a kosher shin for ksav ashuris for the sefer Torah and the mezuzah and the tefillin. It doesn't have to be that. It has to be dugma. It has to be similar to that. But the halachas of a shin don't apply with regards to shinning on the side. Uminek soifrim kayoim, but the contemporary minig is of the soifrim, minig soifrim kayoim, beizim koimois, lahadre la soifrim b'ksav ashuris mamash, but the common minig is to actually make a ksav ashuris one. Continues the Mishneh Berurah, I'm skipping, I'm going to Kuf Tzadik Gimel, mikmete oir, dahinu shemekamet oir, bemelaket al edek file, shekoifel me oir ad shenasu seife ashin. The Mishneh Berurah says that there is actually, the way I understand from the Batimacher, they do it in a few stages nowadays. Because there's a various problem of Chak Toiches, So the way they do it nowadays is in a few stages. They first squeeze it out and then they squeeze it back in. So it goes in a few stages. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah mentions over here, is that to actually just make an imprint is not good enough. To just make an imprint out of a shin, that's not good enough. They do it in a few stages. I think it's quite a process. They first squeeze it out, then they squeeze it back in, and then they push it back. A whole process, which is done in a few stages. It's quite a complex process. And the Mishnah addresses this in order to be yotzei various opinions of chak toiches and other problems as well. Mishnah Berurah mentions that doichik atfus boi rabais menasa to yashin is not good enough. If you just squeeze and you make a shape of a shin, that's not good enough. You have to go from the inside out as opposed to squeezing in the shape of a shin. So that's quite a challenge. But then again, next time we become batimachas, we'll go into greater detail. But it's quite a challenging. I have actually seen it. It's quite a process. I can't. It's quite a process. It's been a few stages. They squeeze it out, then they squeeze it back in, and then it's a whole process. It's a whole process. And remember that all those parts of the making of the batim, everything needs to be done by hand. Why does everything need to be done by hand? Because obviously you want it. Otherwise, it would be a problem of lishma. So literally, they're using a bit of tools. But they can't, it's not just machineries that the Jews use and everything goes automatically. Because of the requirement of everything being lishma, they have to ensure that everything is pretty much done by hand or with some kelim which support them. But it's very much of it is actually things literally done by hand. Right. The Mishnah Berurah continues in Sifkot and Kuf Tzadi Dalet, Shelimina Menyach, Vein Chilik Bazeh Ben Itta Le'acher. With regards to the right and the left shins, to be three, with three heads and with four heads, it doesn't make a difference if you are right-handed or left-handed. It doesn't make a difference. It has nothing to do with your own personal right-handedness. Finally, Sifkot and Kuf Tzadi Hei says in the Mishnah Berurah, Ve'enyo nifzal, avalim oso b'shnei atzdotim rak shin shal shloisha roshim or arba posul, v'kol shkinim chisa legamu shin echot. Says the Mishnah Berurah, with aloche, if you do two shins, but both equal with three heads, three-head shin on this side, three-head shin on that side, that will actually be posul. You need to have one with three, one with four. If you make the wrong side, but it doesn't pass it. But if you have got two shins with three heads on either side, that would actually pass. It sounds like from Mishnah Berurah be the Eved. Just to recap what we covered tonight, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Shemoyim. We spoke about the charitz, about the importance of the charitz of the batim to be done. They have to be from the batim, they have to be coming from the inside out, as opposed to cheating and doing a groove and indentation from the outside, that would be possible. We then carried on learning about the halacha, that really the oirich roicha v'abatim v'govon ein lo shir, from the Shulchan Aruch says that the shir is not, there's no requirement with regards to the shir, the size of the batim. The Mishnah Berurah says that from the Geonim there is a shir which is two etzbois, which nowadays we've got, it's 2 or 3 centimeters, we've got that, all our tefillin have got it. We then carried on learning about the Sif Mem Beis, which tells us about the shinin. It tells us the shin are absolutely ma'akev, and they need to be coming from the shin out. Don't have something external sticking on. They need to be part of the tefillin, part of the batim, part of the leather of the tefillin. We said there needs to be two shins, one on the right, one on the left, three heads, four heads. We said that if you have got the wrong side, it's not ma'akev but the evet. However, if you've got one shin, or even two shins with three heads, that will be ma'akev but the evet. You better run as quickly as possible to your batimacha. If it's your own, if you see somebody else having that, you have to tap on his shoulder and say, you better come to the Dishoshir. Okay, good evening, Abbasah.